What's up?
Ha ha! We don't need them. We've evolved.
There it is.
We've evolved.
How did you do it, Jesse? How did you make it work?
I logged in. Also, how have we not ever promoted the fact that we have a Gmail? I like didn't know we had a Gmail.
Yeah, I don't. Does anyone check it? Kai might check it.
Ooh! Hey, everyone listening to this, email your advice. Any memes to totapod@gmail.com,
which is our Gmail. TOTAPOD.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Actually, I want at least one email. It doesn't have to be all of you, but someone send an email, and we won't see it. But
please, and do. At least a subject line. I've been getting a lot of emails without subject lines, and it's just sad. I don't know what's going on.
The kids,
right?
the youths don't know what they're doing.
The youths never add a subject line. Mm-hmm. It's like, what a to do with this. I'm going to delete it.
Anyway, it is 10:17 on a Saturday morning, and we are coming to you recording a pod. You will notice that Josh, who usually starts the pod, is not here right now. He was going to, and then his baby woke up. Leo woke up. So Josh is no longer with us, as they say.
He's part of the woke mob, as they say. And
that's right.
Yeah, got him.
So it's good. Just the three. It's just the Jesse Kai Ice
three episode
today. We're going to keep it tight for you. We're talking football. We're talking emails. Kai, we were talking about how we have that email. Have you ever checked the Totapod email?
So when I first set it up, I did. But I'd be fascinated if, you know, 5 years later or whatever, we have to be getting emails from something, right? Someone.
We just have so many sponsorship requests. we've never checked.
Probably true.
They're like desperately trying to get a hold of us to offer us like a 5-year contract, $3.8 million. We just haven't checked the email.
That's not enough anyway.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Has to be at least six, right? We'll settle for nothing less.
Yeah.
I can't be clear enough about this. If you said, hey, listen, like you're gonna quit your full-time job, you're gonna podcast at the same frequency you do right now, but you have to quit your full-time job. It's a shockingly low number for me, like to do this bi-weekly. You know what I mean? Like
it's two podcasts a month for pretty nice living.
Or two a week. It's hard to know.
I could probably get by. I'd ask for at least 30K for the first year, and then we need some multipliers from there. But
you'd have a lot of time on your hands to make up the salary.
No, difference. I'm saying I am not allowed. It's an exclusivity contract. I'm not allowed to work other
what do you
jobs.
Do? What do you do with your time? My mom retired this year. What do you do?
Yeah, I think it's a big adjustment. So you're saying if we only had, well, to be fair, the research for the pod would be next level ice, right? 2 hours of podding a week, but 38 hours of research. I mean,
you have to deliver the content. I mean, we already do that now. So
obviously,
you're right.
We have 90 hour weeks.
Could you see? Then that's why we're getting these sponsorship deals. Is they're like, listen, you're able to produce this quality at a low part time level. They're like, you know, already ramping up what it would look like if we were to actually invest full time, and it's limitless, honestly.
Like, so we love Josh here on this podcast, but this will be interesting because I feel like we haven't had a Joshless podcast in a while, and I feel like 60% of the airtime is just up for grabs now for us. So I feel like I have to talk more.
Okay, did I tell you guys about the Red Zone, the local Red Zone channel that I have? I got this local Red Zone channel, right?
Merrill,
lower
Wisconsin.
Right corner, dude, just chewing. He's just chewing. That's all he does in the lower right corner. The upper three are just local games.
So anyway, Alan Francis had a tournament again this weekend. Yeah.
So did you guys see Zach Wilson? And he's been really bad this year.
but it's his year. We probably will. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like, should we? I mean, that's the A topic, right? That has to be the A topic.
So if you imagine being the first thing you have to do, and I actually do wish Josh was here for this part. You have to imagine being a Jets fan. I watched all of Hard Knocks, and the hype was genuine, and it was also like their defense was exciting. It wasn't just Aaron Rodgers. It was like their defense is good, and Breece Hall is coming back, and we got Dalvin Cook, and the hype was real. And Jets fans thought that they could win the Super Bowl.
Ice already thinks I'm an internet troll, so I'm just going to go with that
go
in my
it.
Next thing here. I say this jokingly, obviously, but when you had him run out with the American flag, it felt like you were just
on 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, that's a... like you just, it made it like this whole, it was really like the Dark Knight. Like, I know Ty made like the Dark Knight Rising now. It was like he was Batman to the Met, like he, to MetLife's Gotham, you know, and it like obviously is so tragic what happened. And it also was like,
oh boy.
I don't know. Maybe this is like hindsight 50-50. Feels like one of the more, I don't know, followed or more hyped quarterback changes in like a decade, right? Like, when is the last time, besides like drafting a rookie, which is obviously always exciting, but happens every year, you had this level, you know, like, was it? Let maybe me tell you.
Brett Favre with the Jets. Oh, wait, baby.
Oh, Brady and the Bucks. That's fair.
Yeah.
See,
but that doesn't make it better because if, from a Jets fan's perspective, because they won the Super Bowl. So, like, yeah, that hurts more, that comparison.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Maybe we follow it closely because we're Packers fans. It almost felt like Rodgers to the Jets got more publicity than Brady to the Bucks, but maybe I'm just not remembering it as much.
Do you think it's just the timeline? Because Rodgers got traded in March, Hard Knocks, and then Hard Knocks, and I think the Brady trade in the summer or something. I genuinely feel like that happened later, or like
it wasn't.
I think
wasn't a trade,
or was it a trade, or maybe well, it was signed as a.
It was a trade, so it wasn't it the retire, unretire, force the hand. I want to go to the Bucks thing, yeah. You know, like. Like the Patriots still had his rights,
I'll try to look up and see if I can find when he was traded.
See, and that's the thing. The fact that we don't remember. I feel like I'm going to – and again, I'm a Packers fan. But I feel like I'm going to remember forever the will he stay, won't he stay, Pat McAfee announcement. Darkness, Jets, like I'm going to be a Jet, waited 2 months, darkness retreat. Like I feel like it is because Rodgers is just a much better media manipulator, mm-hmm. You know, like, and that's saying something given the counter is Tom Brady. Like that man's not bad.
Yeah.
At media.
Yeah. Rodgers chases that media clout, especially the last few, like 4 or 5 years. Yeah. I know. Yeah. He's a clout king. Yeah. Well, in the Packer perspective too, and New York market, you know, media market is a little bit bigger than, you know, Tampa Bay or whatever, right? Like,
yeah, that's fair.
I think the instant the Rodgers trade happened, I suddenly noticed like ESPN was devoting at least 10 minutes a day to Jets coverage. And that's when I stopped watching ESPN. So there you go.
Yeah. It took you that long, huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know. I was
That is a good point.
It's New York too. Sorry. It's Brady went from, New England. Oh my God. That's Lane's alarm. You guys get to hear what I get to hear.
Jesus.
This is Lane's alarm.
Lane.
And so every morning, Lane detects a chemical odor. Like a
fire.
Is that what's going on?
It's very significant. It is very loud and it's very annoying, Lane.
Does
she wake up?
My comp is like nuclear fallout, is what that, like, if you're like, at like a nuclear power plant and there's a leak.
And you have to get out immediately. Evacuate. Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't, I mean, it works most of the time, but sometimes she'll just press snooze and she'll go right back to bed.
Oh my God.
If you guys
are ever in a nuclear reaction, you guys are done for. Lane's just not going to have the urgency. She's just going to be whatever.
If Lane ever works in a nuclear reaction, she'd be a terrible employee. How do you mute this one? How do you 5 minute snooze the radiation leak alarm?
So anyway, Rodgers went to New York. That's probably.
Yeah, I think that is actually a good point too. I think it is Rodgers. I think it's Hard Knocks. I think the NFL rolled with it, and I think it is like if Rodgers had went to Detroit to like replace Matt Stafford, I think it would just be different.
Weird that Tampa Bay and Jacksonville have NFL franchises, right?
Yeah, like, isn't that weird? They're definitely not like honestly, like how much bigger is the Tampa Bay market than? Like the Green Bay market, obviously it's sizably bigger, but like what is the population of Jacksonville? Is that like 200,000, 300,000? It can't be that big of a city, but it's very strange. It's very random. Like if we're ever talking NFL expansion, like how does I guess Las Vegas has a team. Never mind. I don't know.
Green Bay obviously also random.
Whenever this gets discussed, I, as a Green Bay Packer, can't really say too much about what cities choose to have an NFL franchise or not. You know,
did you guys see Green Bay in the 1890s? Boy, that was a metropolis. Right?
It is like
thriving.
It's still incredible to me that we even have one. You know, like
that. It's
like I just it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all.
Do you think if we had, because Green Bay was pretty bad in the 70s and 80s, do you think if we'd continued to stay bad for like 20 or 30, like basically if we'd been bad for like 40, 50 years, do you think we would have lost the team?
I think at this point, we've cemented in 40 plus years of it being the Green Bay Packers. Like, you're just not moving them. But I think if we had never built that cachet up, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would have easily been a move candidate or whatever you call a relocation candidate to somewhere else. I also think it's funny, like, if you were to just reset the NFL right now, how many cities deep would you go before you arrived at Green Bay for an NFL franchise? You know, like, Rochester, New York would definitely get one before Green Bay. Rochester, Minnesota might even get one before maybe. Green Bay. You know, I think like it's like probably in the low 200s of when you'd arrive at be like, why doesn't Green Bay have one?
Honestly, I would make the case for Sheboygan over Green Bay. No offense to Green Bay, but you know, I'd take Sheboygan any day. Right? Yeah.
Oh, you got the practice facility right on the water?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. It'd beautiful. Be spectacular, yeah. Anyway,
you can speak, we're already talking about Green Bay. We might as well talk about Jordan Love, right, fellas? We don't really have an agenda, if you can't tell.
The Love era.
Yeah.
So that's definitely an important one. I feel like of all the week one stories and like takeaways that you could have, I do think Jordan Love is probably one of the bigger ones. And it's not like he came out and like lit the world on fire, but statistically, his stats are really good.
That's the lie, Ice. He's just the third Packers week one starter since 1999, and he comes in and he really though when you watch the tape, he completes 15 passes and he mostly is taking what the defense gives him, but that's, you know, that's being smart. So I'm encouraged by him. I think the biggest, I don't know how much you guys got to see, but the biggest thing I noticed is it's nice to have a quarterback who's in his 20s again, who can like move a little little bit, you know. I kind of got
just after we get off the Aaron Rodgers season-ending injury due to a normal right, tackle
tough
debate.
Tough timing.
Yeah, no. But you're right. Like, I mean,
it makes a difference.
And that's the thing. Like, about a 39-year-old versus a 20s, like, the bodies are. I'm 30, and man, I am struggling right now. I'm putting my clothes away, and things hurt. You know. So, but it is. Yeah, it is really nice to like, and like, I think in general too, like when Rodgers was younger, he's still like Jordan Love just is a little bit thicker in all areas, you know, like he can just kind of like
thick boy
take a hit a little better. And it's kind of nice to like, not, I know I'm jinxing us now. I'm knocking out the word,
right.
Not panic every sack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
the Rodgers durability was definitely, I mean, he's had, not including the Achilles, he had what, at least three or four other season enders, and usually it was just like getting sacked, like it wasn't anything.
He had the collarbone a couple of times. He had the calf ankle thing for a while, and it was even when he was playing in those last few years, there still was like, oh yeah, like look at, like watch the mobility here, like be careful with the hit he takes there. So it was like a chronic, you know, he's one hit away from your season ending, and that's just not a fun place to be as an NFL fan, you know. And like, and I guess to tangent it slightly, credit to, we don't need to talk with him too much, Ice, but credit to Kirk, man. I mean, we watched that whole game and that dude takes hits.
Yeah, especially like, at the beginning. I don't know, man. And obviously the quarterback documentary is just like Kirk propaganda, right? But like I don't know. He gets smacked. And it's not just him. It's every quarterback. They get destroyed. And you don't really think about it because like you're looking to see if the ball gets completed. There's the throw from 2 years ago with Ryan Fitzpatrick where his like head was getting ripped off and like he threw it 40 yards and it was an absolute dime. And that's the only one I remember where I was like, oh yeah, that looked like it really, really hurt. But yeah, now since that documentary, Kirk, I mean, he's been the most hit quarterback in the last like whatever years. And that's partially our offensive line. It's partially the fact that he can't move just like you guys were talking about. He can move less than Rodgers. So, I mean, like, I don't know. It's partially because of the type of quarterback he is. But, yeah, we were watching Jesse and I were watching together on Thursday. And Brady shouts out. And, yeah, it looked very painful a lot of the time.
If you ever watched how much padding he wears, too, like, on his ribs. And, like, he tries to, like, He knows he's going to get killed. Like, that man.
It's like a SWAT team. Like, he's about to go, like, kick yep. down a door when he starts the NFL game. He's got his bulletproof
Kevlar vest on. He's just ready to go.
And, like, I feel like, too, as the O-line, nothing's more telling when you're in the locker room strapping on your third Kevlar vest. Yeah, guys, no, I trust you. No, I trust you for sure. Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm gonna pad up my arms here with some magazine rolls. Don't worry.
But if he was Jalen Hurts, he wouldn't be taking, you know, that kind of hit. Although Jalen Hurts takes different kinds of hits, I guess. So
right.
Everybody's different. But Jordan Love looked, would you guys say he looked good? I know his yards per attempt were great. Aaron Jones took a screen for like 60 yards or whatever.
Yeah, definitely inflated the stat. I mean, I think he was for his second career NFL start, he looks good. He's not I don't think he's like I'm not ready to call him a superstar, but it's like, I think he's a decent start. You can win games with him as a starter. And that's already more encouraging. You know, that's more than we maybe thought going in. So,
yeah, I think he's maybe this is mean, but I'm going to say anyways, I think he's at or above the Brock Purdy level. And so obviously like, it's hard to be the Niners, but it's like, it is like, I feel like there is a Brock Purdy level where it's like, if you can be Brock Purdy or above, theoretically you can build a team around them to compete for a championship, you know? And I think you have to normally be a lot higher than that, but I think that's like the bar, that's the level, you know? And I definitely think he's there. So that's exciting. You know, we just have to build a very competent team around him.
Yeah. The window stuff is interesting in terms of you've got, what do we have? We have one more year before we have to pay him, I think.
Yeah.
But essentially, I think what I think it's setting up is I think this year's team, I think it's – I could see any outcome. I could see 6 wins. I could see, like, 10 for – you know, anything seems possible to me. But I do think it's setting up next year's team, I think, could be sneaky good because he'll be in his second year as a starter. I think offensively we have so many young pieces. Defensively, we got a ton of pieces and it's lots of cheap players. So theoretically we could bring in like a free agent safety who's a stud or like a free agent, you know, defensive lineman or something. And then I think we might be cooking with something. And I talked in the Packers chat a little bit about this, but it kind of is reminding me of the early Rodgers team when suddenly leading up to the Super Bowl, we drafted all these good young players like Clay Matthews and BJ Raji. We had Jordy, young Jordy, and all these guys kind of around Rodgers, and that's what you need to win is you need good cheap players on, you know, rookie contracts. So
as a hater, window. I can't decide if I'm happier hearing you say stuff like that, which I think I am hearing you say like, oh, it reminds me of the young Rodgers era. Just to hear what it's that sets up as far as disappointment goes, or if I wish he would have come out and been like Desmond Ridder and had 4 completions for four out of five for 0 yards and a touchdown. I can't tell. I don't know which one is better. I think it's the second one just because I just want to guarantee that Love is bad. But he already. Yeah. I mean, like Ridder and Howell are two good like comparisons because they're like first year starters who aren't rookies, and he definitely looks way better than them so far. So
I can only speak for me as a Packers fan. This is not universally true. I'm curious where Kai's at, but I'm kind of like even if you like cheer for Love to be bad, I very much am on like this is icing on the cake time. Like we've been relevant for so long, we've been good for so long. Like if Love sucks, it's not going to be hurtful, I think, in the same way as your 4th starting QB that sucks for other franchise. You know what I mean?
Like, right, but that's also something that could happen to you. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're right.
Like this could be the start, and that's what I'm hoping happens.
Sure. It just it does need to hit a few more times for me to really get tilted. Like to me, and this is just me as a Packers fan, but I feel like Jordan Love is coming, even though he's following Aaron Rodgers and following decades of Pro Bowl play. I think he's got like a nice situation, and that like I guess I don't know. This is just me. I don't think we expect him to be Aaron Rodgers. We don't expect him to be Brett Favre. And it's like if he doesn't work out, you can't like get mad that you didn't strike your 3rd Hall of Fame QB in a row. You know, like so like I don't know. To me, it's like whatever Jordan Love does, that's just icing on a 30-year cake of just quality teams and quality quarterback play, and I really hope it works out. But, like, if it doesn't, I guess we're due is what I'm saying. We're due for a bad year. We're due for a bad quarterback. So it's really great if he's not it, and I guess we'll see, you know.
If he's good this year especially, I mean, he's probably really good because you guys – I don't know if you guys saw the stats of, like, the Packers pass catchers this year.
On third and fourth down or no?
Yeah, no. Of the – this is a pro love thing. Packers pass catchers this year were entering the year were, like Watson was the most experienced. He has the most career catches.
He has, like, but this, career catches are, like, 26 or something.
Right. This is the fewest career catches, fewest career yards of a receiving core in, like history. So that's why I was fading Love this year specifically just because of that. And obviously Aaron Jones isn't included in that. And Aaron Jones was a monster on Sunday. So maybe, you know, that's not fair, but yeah, that's why I thought he'd be bad this year personally.
That was a preseason. Oh, go ahead.
Well, no. Well, I think the unspoken part of that is O-line always matters mm-hmm. more than receivers. Like if you have time, if you have 6 seconds, anyone can get open, and he's got a pretty good O-line. So yeah, that's just what I was gonna say. I think when you look at fantasy QBs, we always look at wide receivers, but O-line I think matters even more.
Well, I remember this is a preseason stat, but I think it still holds unless we sign someone, and it was that every single player in the pass catcher group for the Packers was on a rookie contract. Like,
that's absurd.
Like there was no second contract in the tight end or wide receiver room. And that's just cool. that's wild.
I think that's why though, like this season is so fun because it's for the first time in a long time, we just have like a super, super young team and the outcomes, there's so many variations or so many variants of it. And it's kind of, it sets up an unpredictable season, and it's kind of exciting to watch like this new young players develop, I guess, instead of like, I think last year especially was the year where it's kind of like, all right, I think we've missed our window. Rodgers is kind of beat up and hurt, and we're still playing like the win now guys a lot, but like they're too old, and it just wasn't a fun year. And this year already, like game one was just super, super fun watching all these young guys make plays. And it's like, you know, I'm okay. If we only win 7-8 games, but each game is like entertaining to watch, like I'll take that every time, right? So
it does further cement the old. It does further cement the old like the cap isn't real argument, because like all we heard for the last 3 years is like it's going to come due, it's going to come due, it's going to come due, and it did somewhat come due. But what we did is we just said, okay, we'll be really young, and like it's fun. You know, this was supposed to be our cap strapped, you have nobody, you can't do anything year. And maybe it is that. But what I'm saying is when 3 years ago they were telling me what our cap situation was going to look like, I didn't think it was going to be a really young team that kind of is fun to watch. I just thought it was going to be nobody and bad. You know,
you just beat the Bears, though. If you would have lost to the Bears, do you think you guys would be saying all the same stuff? Because I'm hearing you say all this stuff. And it's because, you guys just won. And good job, and you know you beat another team who's in a similar spot. If you would have lost the Bears,
play back the preseason pod, guys. Guys, takes exactly the same, and
I'm just saying you could lose the next three games, and Love could look bad and whatever. And I don't know that this would be this. I'm coming from a place of having been rebuilding.
The Vikings could be 2-0, but they're not. We can cut a wood off.
Right. Oh, I'm not trying to talk crap. I'm just saying, like, I have been a fan of many a rebuilding NBA team, and it doesn't always feel when you have a bunch of young guys and random players popping up all over the place. Doesn't always feel great.
Well, it's the distinction that you brought up though, Ice, because you're right. Like, if we do this for the next 30 years, if it's like the fifth iteration of like, all right, time to start it over, bring in a new quarterback. But for us, it's like the first time.
Oh, it's brand new for
Yeah, we're getting
for us. It's something new. You're right. Yeah. You're right. If this is if it's our in 6 years, if we're talking about our fifth Jordan Love and all the rookie pass catchers, our tone will probably be much different. I can concede that. But yeah, as it's like, I
could tell you.
Yeah, dude. Also, do you want to talk about that at all? Like,
yeah, the Bears are kind of a dumpster fire. I'm really hoping that the Bears are just like the one of the worst teams in history, so that the Packers made them look good, because they're disgusting. Now, I didn't actually watch the game, but it sounds like it was miserable.
But also, I don't know. It's a further to me. It was a further like, just preseason doesn't matter, because like all that hype when like, oh, they you know, like three plays, 90 yards, two touchdowns in the preseason. Like the Bears team's going to be like, it doesn't mean anything. Like it doesn't mean anything. And then Kenny Pickett had a, I think it was like more or less perfect passer rating for the entire preseason. Yep. And it's like, and it, like everyone said it, but then it was also like, well, you know, remember it's preseason. However, and it's like, no, let's just remember it's preseason and stop there. Not much.
Here, can I read you a quote? Or at least try to remember the quote that I heard and then say it, and then it's probably wrong. Here's the quote, and you can tell me who it's from. Someone asked them, you guys were really good in the preseason. The Steelers were really good in the preseason.
Hey, still might be good.
What happened there? And the quote was, yeah, I think the 49ers defense is a little better than a preseason defense. Who said that quote?
Feels like a Tomlin.
No, it was Kenny Pickett. Which is a funny, it's a funny thing amazing. To hear from, I love from Kenny.
He's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But that puts stock into my, I think the Steelers still win the division take here. You know, my Steel City, right? Because Bengals have looked a little shaky. You know, the Ravens, I mean, they won, but Lamar's not going to stay healthy.
Browns look good.
Yeah, the Browns are just down like that. Is it just the defense? I didn't actually watch the game, but their defense must be nuts if they.
Well, it was also like kind of a gross, like rainy day. Obviously it was one of the lowest scoring NFL weeks in a long time, but it was also like gross weather in a bunch of places, and that's one of them.
6 feet of snow in Buffalo.
Yeah. I'll talk about the Vikings for a little bit. You guys can chime in. I know Jesse watched the game. Did you watch the game, Kai?
I saw the third quarter basically. So
we're fresh off the Thursday night loss. I'm already good. I obviously at the time was not feeling so good. Jesse can attest.
Yeah, can I? I'll start with the rundown. Right around when we were walking, so we watched the first half at Black Stack Brewing, and then walked back to my house. In the middle of that walk back, Ice was having Brady read off career longs for the last two kickers the Vikings faced. So that's kind of where he was at there.
Well, we had two career longs in 2 weeks, so that's
Also, there was at Blackstack, there was a gong that they would hit when good things happened. It was very fun. There was plenty of Ice saying "ring that gong" when something not good happened as well. Mm-hmm. You know,
they missed a field goal. And I asked him to bang the gong, and he did. It was awesome.
When the Eagles missed a field goal, that qualified enough as a Vikings good play for the gong.
People in tennis, people clap when the guys hit it out, right? That's the same energy.
Do they? But then right around the third quarter, Ice was deep in a who are the rookie QBs coming up? Who can we draft?
It was 28-7. 28-7. So it was bad.
Yeah, the ice energy is always. I mean, that was fascinating when you're going into the Caleb Williams deep dive. But anyway.
And we are currently the worst record in the league. So we are the number one pick if the season ended now.
Ice currently Kirk Cousins is the number one fantasy quarterback.
So. That's true.
I mean,
he's been electric. He was electric again. So the Vikings have lost six fumbles. And they threw a pick.
Seven total turnovers.
Yeah, it's the most. Yes. It's the most lost fumbles through two games since 2003, and that's kind of. It's like you guys know as fans. But there's nothing, and actually, I've been playing a lot of Madden, obviously too. There's nothing more infuriating than a fumble because it feels entirely random. As a fan, obviously, there's a guy and he fumbled in real life, and so that. Is a thing that happened, and that's a skill thing. But like an interception feels like the defense earned it and the quarterback messed up. I guess fumbles feel – I don't know if that's true for you guys, but fumbles feel different to me.
Especially the Jefferson into the end zone thing feels like
– yeah.
That already feels like such an arbitrary rule of like when does someone lose control of it and all that stuff. But
it's just a dumb rule.
Fumbles do feel random, but at the same time it's –
It's not random. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's also like
in Madden, it is to be clear.
Yeah, in Madden,
but that's a different thing.
But when you watch a lot of the fumbles, for example, and say like the 240-pound defensive end just does this like down punch and connects directly with the ball, You can't really be like, oh, the running back's got to secure it better. Like, how often have we seen a dude land a punch as hard as they can and the ball just stay there? And so, like, that's the part to me that feels a little arbitrary. It's like, yeah, every play they're trying to just throw haymakers and hit the ball, and then sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. And, like, so I agree with you in that sense that it, like, the play is inherently wonky.
Right.
Because it's just like, and I do think there are some fumble prone guys, but like those plays, the punch right. the ball play, the helmet when you're just diving, make a tackle, and you connect directly it, with yeah. the ball. Yeah, yeah. That's also just kind of a wonky play.
I'm honestly surprised you don't see, I feel like you see more less fumbles. Guys even like, yeah, more fun. Like, cause I feel like you, I almost feel like you should see more guys trying to punch at the ball. Like, I remember that was like,
what, yeah, especially at the end of the game. It.
Yeah. Charles Woodson, that was like his thing. Is like every tackle, he'd go like yeah. one arm on the leg and like one arm punching the ball, and it's like crazy how much.
Well, especially like when it's like, you know, when you've kicked it off and you'll have to like you have to stop or you like need to get the ball back, right? It's third. It's like, why don't you have like one dude hold him up and the other two dudes just start punching at the ball as hard as you can? Yeah, like it seems silly, it's but it's also a bully
situation.
Right?
You hold him, and I'll just beat the crap out of him.
If we're going to allow the tush push and just say that that's cool, then let's allow the hold and punch, you know?
As a Jalen Hurts owner, I have nothing against the tush push. As an NFL fan, I feel like it's weird that they – because it came up rules-wise in the offseason, yep. and they decided not to do anything about it. It's kind of an odd choice. But anyway – so, yeah, not only have we fumbled six times, but we've lost all six fumbles, which is obviously – some of them are not random. The strip sacks are always going to be more likely to be recovered by the defense. That punt return yeah. was a really freaking good punt return. But because he got so far, I think it was all green jerseys around him. You know, like, those right. aren't really random. But, right. like, the Madison fumble – Kirk Cousins literally in the last game, he snapped it, and our right guard – was so excited to run block that he reached his hand back to run get block, some run block, run to get some yeah right I'm running real fast and he pushed his hand back and it was the perfect punch out of the ball on Kirk's hand. And again, that's something where you think Kirk or Madison would recover it, and no, the Bucks recovered it. That those things are genuinely random, and so that's when it's like without that specific fumble, would we have beaten the Bucks? Maybe. Right? And that's the game that hurts more anyway, because the Bucks are terrible.
Can we push back with last year when you guys won 13 games by
sure.
know, ten of which?
Would you say that's more random than fumbling or not?
Well, I don't think it's random to win a one
fumble recovering
game.
Too.
I think I everything that happened in the win is yeah. probably a lot of random things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Football is just random.
Yeah, we're just seeing some regression to the mean. Like I said, there's three good teams. Everyone else is about the same. And last year, you got some bounces going your way, and you won.
This is not. I hear a lot of that. Yeah, that regression to the mean. And it's also like I like when people are like, "Yeah, Vikings fans thought that the 13-4 was real last year, and now we're seeing regression to the mean." So it's funny to see the Vikings fan. No,
hey, we all knew. My transcript, Ice. That's exactly.
Yeah, we all knew. We all were aware. I don't. It's not. It doesn't take a genius.
What I push back on is that 13-4 wasn't real. It was real. It's just like, what does it mean? You know, like you were 13-4. That is true.
Yeah,
and like
at the end of the way,
they're not as good as other 13-4 teams. It's like, I bet you if we go through the history of all 13-4 teams, there's also wonky. So I think where I push back on that idea is in agreement with Kai's idea, which is like trying to say that a team that won these games didn't win these games is dumb, because sometimes a win isn't inherently how good you are.
Right.
You know, like there's a lot of 13-4 teams that are bad or not that good. And
2019
there are a lot of, like,
Packers. 2019 Packers.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Or like
we were even worse than that.
I'm not one to defend this team, because we could talk about the two. I hate them so much. But like the Chargers are chronically like 9-8, and they're a very good, like they're always such a talented team. I don't know what it is that they can't connect
their coach
and put it together. But it always feels like they are so much worse than the talent on their roster, right?
And that brings me to my final point. That brings me to my final Vikings point, which is that I actually think we
dissertation.
I think we do look better than we did last year. And I think I'm in a tough spot, because like that we lost in Philly to the Eagles. That's fine. We have one bad loss right now. I do think that the Vikings are still pretty good. Which is a bummer, right? Because then my expectations are still high and we're 0-2. But like, I do think that like we're still going to compete. It's still going to be a fun. It already has been a fun season. Like our offense looks good, and I think our defense looks good. You can talk about the running. We don't need to get into.
It was a smart defensive strategy.
It was a strategy. I mean, you look at the box and like I'm not trying to be a Josh or whatever, but like you just had to look at.
Here's the thing: when you have the nickel push up hard on the back fade corner, you're gonna allow the cross routes all day, and that's fine because their cross routes have notoriously not been good under Sirianni.
But you literally, I mean, it's as simple as counting the amount of players that are close to the line of scrimmage.
Oh, that very much for it. Those who didn't know, that very much happened every play in the Jesse like household with ice.
Yeah, well, because we're down 14. And the Eagles have run every play for the last 10 plays. And then they go out, and the Eagles line up, and the Vikings line up, and the Vikings have six guys in the box. And so that means there's six guys who are not in the box. That means the Eagles are blocking with five. And it's just – it's
Vikings got 14 guys on the field on defense.
Right. No, it was a strategy. And I don't know if you guys are listening to any sports podcasts these days, but everyone was like – oh, the Vikings got manhandled. They ran it down their throat, blah, 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 blah. And really, I think it was just a strategy to stop the pass. Because if you would have watched the Vikings-Eagles last year.
You're baiting the run.
Yeah, right. And it obviously doesn't work every time. But, like, if they run on first down and they get 2 yards, and then they run on second down and they get 2 yards, that's way better result for us because they're running. Because we wanted them to run. Right. Then, yeah. So, anyway.
But it's also – I'm still optimistic. That, like, if you let up a first down, then obviously it was a failed defensive strategy. And that's, I don't know, it's not how football works. It's not the number of first downs you get. It's the number of points you get, right?
They're playing death by like 100 paper cuts versus one massive.
Versus one 63-yard Devonta Smith
touchdown. Right, it still happened. Like, they still got a couple.
What I'm saying is that they showed they can do that. And you're just like, listen, we don't want you to do that. Also, I think the microcosm of this whole like good team, bad team – wonky is also in the players, and like you have DeAndre Swift go from like two touches to 155 yards in back-to-back games. Like, it's also just there's something inherently so weird about the NFL and so unpredictable, and like so much of it is scheme and all of these things that none of us except maybe Josh are intelligent enough to like realize, you know. And so it is like, I think he's just like a microcosm where you're like, he didn't even play. Like, why do they do a fourth round pick? And then the next game, it's like, is he one of the best backs in the league right now? Is he?
Dude, I'm and so annoyed like, about it. It's like, no, we just didn't defend the run at all on purpose. And like all of these fantasy takes, like someone's like, oh, well, I mean, obviously he's probably won the backfield now from Kenny Gainwell because he just looked so much better. And it's like, he did look decent, but I'm guessing Gainwell will look decent too. Did he win the backfield? I don't know. I don't really care. But like, it's a different. That's a different thing. That's not.
When you have one of the better O lines in the game facing a defense that's saying run the ball, it does not take a Hall of Famer to figure out the holes there. You know?
I don't know that he won the job. I don't know that he didn't, but I think it's really funny for people like, oh, Swift's dynasty value is way up and he's going to be the running back for the rest of the year and blah, blah, blah. Gainwell lost his job. And it's like, I don't think that's probably the case. But anyway, that was a lot of Vikings Eagles. It was an interesting game. Was there anything else that you guys were really wanting to talk about today?
Dude, the game coming up quick. Packers Falcons? That's fascinating, man.
Those are your fellas.
Fascinating. Those are my fellas.
Killers all over the field.
What?
Killers.
Yep. What? Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I just think it's an interesting because I feel like both the teams are in like the same place franchise wise. Like with different levels of talent and distributions of draft capital, but it's both two teams that are like, could they be good? Like, I don't think I personally, even though I've been so mean to the Falcons all year, it's because of the scheme, not because that they're just a trash team. It's that I just don't like watching triple option in the NFL. But it still is like, if the Falcons won 9 or 10 games playing in that division, if they were in the NFC East, that would be shocking. But in that division, I feel like they can go 5-1 in their division, and it's not going to be like the hallmark of a great team. So then what, you have to go 5-5 in the rest of your games, you know? And so, like, I think they're just both in a very similar space, both with like kind of similar unproven thick boy QBs, you know? Ritter and Love are both like similar height weight wise based on no information of mine, but just kind of my feel of two
players. Yeah, probably.
So I think it's just fun because it's two teams that feel very similar to me on like paper, in like expectation, in uncertainty. And so I'm excited, man. I don't think it'll be a good game. Like, I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh yeah, don't forget to tune into Packers Falcons on the Red Zone. But I think it'll be an interesting narrative game for both fan bases, for those who care.
I'm excited because I get to actually watch the whole game. And I am. I mean, the Packers are interesting just to everybody, you know. And for me, obviously, I have a rooting interest against them. But
wait, are you going to watch the whole Packers
game? Yeah, the Vikings are done for the week.
Packers fan ice is showing
it. I'm going to toss the Packers game up on the big TV, and I'll have Red Zone on the computer.
The Marshfield Red Zone, obviously. The
local.
I'm excited to see.
Friday recap Red Zone they do every Sunday.
I'm excited to see Wausau East versus Wausau West. That should be a fun one.
Honestly, I think he crushed it. Yeah, that's probably
the East-West rivalry there. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. Josh is going to be excited about that. Do you guys think Josh will listen to this? We were kind of mean to him, I feel like.
No, I think we were mean in a complimentary way. We were mean in that way where you're like, oh, I'm so smart and know everything. Because he is, you know? Like I'm cool. If I come on the pod, if you guys want to like insult the fact that I'm, you know, like super athletic and like really handsome and have Riz, that's okay. You guys can do that. All right. And I'll take that. You know what I mean?
Rizzy Riz.
I'm cool.
That's what the kids have these days.
You guys think the Lions are good?
Probably. I mean, nah. You don't think
anyway.
I think
next topic.
I do. I know. This is such a cop out. I think they're in the better end of the most teams are here category. You know, yeah. I think they're in the top of that.
They could be the fifth best team or the 20th best team, and they're somewhere in that window. I like that.
I think I would put them as the best team in the NFC North right now. I don't think that's a hot take.
Yeah, I'd say that too. I think I go Lions, Vikings, Packers, but it's close, and I'm excited to see. It's kind of like we get I crave this energy ice because it's kind of the energy that Vikings fans have had before, where you don't have like Super Bowl aspirations. This year you probably do, but it's fun because then more. Playing the Vikings becomes our Super Bowl, and it's like if we beat you guys, it's like yeah. Right?
Yeah, that is fun. You guys beat us last year when we were, you know, 13 and whatever, like 12-3 or something. Yeah. So yeah, I'm sure that felt good. That's it. Literally was a reversal of the past seasons. So that part, at least, like I could lean back on, but it was also like, you know, Jair Alexander doing the gritty was like the highlight of Packers fan seasons, which is good and bad. I don't know. It feels like me from the past. Yeah, and now, I mean, if the Vikings are bad, like I said, I'm watching the whole Packers game tomorrow. Jordan Love being bad is high on my watch list. So
every completed pass, darn it, come on.
It's nice because part of my take, Big Cat is a Bears fan, and it's nice to have another person be like, I just really hope Jordan Love isn't good, and I'm going to admit that, like, I'm really nervous about it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. No. And we kind of feed off the nervousness of like, good. It's like
it feels good, for you guys.
Yeah,
but
root against us.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else going on this week in the NFL that you guys are pumped about? Chiefs, Jags. I'm a Jags fan. Chiefs, Jags, really quick. Should be electric. Very excited about that one.
And you were a Chiefs fan last year. How the turntables.
Yeah, a revenge game.
The tables have turned.
I don't know exactly what we're getting revenge for regarding my fandoms.
I think Cowboys, Jets is the game I'm going to be curious to follow because we're going to see. How did the Jets do now that Zach Wilson has 6 days to prepare? I honestly think that's worse. I think he's a guy, if you tell him what you want him to do, he's gonna struggle.
So the new strategy is every week, name the backup as the starter, and then like one series in, all right, Wilson, you're in. And he's just like, oh, wow, what? This is shocking. I'm going to play really good.
Yeah. And then also just Jets defense versus the Cowboys offense. I think it'll be fascinating to see. I have a lot of fantasy interest in the Cowboys offense doing well. I own CD in like three of my five leagues or something. So
Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, Pollard, CD versus Sauce, Pollard versus the Jets D line. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, so that's what I'll watch for. And go Pack. Is the Packers, do you guys know, are we the noon game tomorrow? Or are we the late?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I love a noon Packers game. I love it. You just first thing you turn on.
Yep.
I don't want to say I'm anti 3:30 slot, but I feel like that's the slot that's like it's late that I don't it's not quite late enough that I have enough time to do a ton of stuff before it. It's I don't know. I think I'll either prefer a noon game or a night game. The 3:30.
Oh yeah, totally.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
There's a frisbee league I was in for many years. I'm not in anymore, but Isaac's still in it. So like a Luther league, a Luther team that we joined. And normally we play in the noon slot, but like sometimes if we win too many games, the more better you are, the later you play, you got to play at the 2:40 slot. And we always, and the entire team hates the 2:40 slot because it's like, it's not enough time to do anything in the morning, but then you're like kind of constantly knowing you have this thing later. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah, it's exactly. Just
the noon slot's perfect for that exact reason where you're like, all right, it's now 3:30. I got to watch. Hopefully it was fun. I can go grocery shopping. I can do it. This, that, third.
Yeah, I try to watch, like, I can't watch football the entire day. So, like, last week, I was going to my mom's for dinner, and we watched football, and then it was like, we have a decent stopping point to watch football, and it was frustrating to miss the Packers game, but it was also like, I could literally sit and watch football for 12 hours. And like, that's what I wanted to do. But it's also like, I should probably do something else, right? I can't do this the entire day. So
for me,
the 3:30 slot is the one that you punt, I think. For me,
the one day where I can watch football all day and like feel good about it's Thanksgiving. Like when it's just kind of on in the background and like you kind of have your meal, you eat. I'm a very big, I try to watch all three games on Thanksgiving, not like sound on engaged, but like it's there. And I love Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you get in your little food coma, and you got the games are staggered nicely. You got like
you have your game,
I think that day
your mashed potatoes and turkey are taking over the majority of your ability to think, and then you hear like the promo for Sunday Night Football on a Thursday, and you're like, this doesn't make any sense, but I'm happy.
The Packers don't have a Thanksgiving game, do we? That's always the double. I feel like we used to have Lions.
We have Lions on Thanksgiving.
Oh,
Packers Lions,
bringing it back.
Yeah.
The Lions in those jerseys. Oh, I love it.
Because the clash, most of my childhood Packers memories on Thanksgiving is just the Packers versus like the Joey Harrington led Lions or something. And it's just, it was always like a horrific, it was basically a bad case scenario because like the Lions would really get up for that game. So it would always be like the 3-12 Lions would somehow like keep it close or whatever against the Brett Favre Packers. And yeah, well, now the turntables have turned, right? Now we're the Joey Harrington, Jordan Love Packers.
That's another fun. That's another super fun game as a Packers fan, man. Mm-hmm. You know, like, my only other thing, fading Colorado tonight, baby. I don't think they're going to lose, but 23.5.
Coach
23.5, way too strong. The line is Colorado by 23.5.
Jesus, Vegas really went
from
Saunders minus
over under throwing touchdowns 3.5. It just feels, all of it feels a little high to me. Feels a little high. You heard it here first.
Give me the Wisconsin Badgers against Georgia Southern or whoever we're playing today. But I think it might be closer than we think.
Gophers against Drake May today. They got Drake May.
Yeah,
I would consider watching it because of
Drake May good?
But I won't. Still,
I feel like people are hyping up Drake May, and I don't even know is he really good or is he just
we don't
Sam
know
Howell?
Yet.
He might just be Sam Howell.
Here's the thing: he's going to get drafted, and then in 2 years, we still won't know.
But that's in 5 years, we might know, and that's why. That's why we do this. All right.
Yeah, that's why. I have nothing else to say. No, I was going to say that's why the career of Baker Mayfield's so interesting because like. It's just a man who keeps getting chances somehow, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's pretty rare to get, like, a third chance if you never were that good,
so
you know?
Bad.
Hey, he's big. He's big, Ice.
Get that weight up. He's bigger than the that cornerback.
Get that weight up.
He's still not that big.
No, I know.
Baker Mayfield.
All right, boys. I'm going to bounce. This has been fun.
All right. Oh, wait, I end it, don't I? I'm not used to this. I can end it whenever. Oh,
yeah,
I
you gotta say something cool. Yeah, get right. Some.
Hip Scotch, the podcast.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Sounds good.
Is that it? We're still here. I'm going. This is my time. I think Jesse might have not. Jesse, are you still here? Ooh. Okay. So this is solo ice pod time, I guess. There's a lot of things I could say here in this space. Jesse just messaged our chat and